Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the EIH Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal, Research Analyst at Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the second quarter FY22 results call of EIH Limited. At the outset, we would like to extend season's greetings to all and trust everyone is keeping well and safe. The EIH management today is represented by Mr. Vikram Oberoi, MD and CEO, and Mr. Kalol Kundu, CFO. At this point of time, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, followed by a question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending this earnings call for quarter two for EIH Limited. I'm Kalol Kundu, and Mr. Vikram Oberoi is with me on this call. I'll quickly take you through the presentation that was uploaded some time back on the stock exchanges and on the website. Just to give an overview of where the industry landscape stands as of now, we've seen domestic air traffic increase by about 5.4% month-on-month in September, which takes it to about 73% of the pre-pandemic level. With easing of travel restrictions, especially in October, decline in COVID cases, an aggressive vaccination campaign in the country, things appear to be on its path to normalcy. The hotel industry recorded highest nationwide occupancy rate since the onset of the pandemic. Now, Chandigarh, Goa, Pune observed the highest occupancy growth year-on-year. A gradual resumption of corporate travel is assisting in the recovery of hotel demand in cities like Bangalore and Pune. Of course, we are present in Bangalore, which was previously underperforming. These are all statistics from HVS ANAROCK. The increasing demand is assisting in the recovery of average daily rates in almost all markets. There are some slides and some information which have been reported in various news articles, which have been captured in the presentation that we've uploaded. To give a sense of the Indian hospitality industry, vis-à-vis FY21, the ADR of the industry as a whole, considering medium and luxury segments as an average, was around 2,000-2,400 rupees in the month of September, which represents a 20% recovery from last year. The occupancies have increased by about 30 percentage points, and the RevPAR has effectively increased by about 164%. If you look at EIH, the recovery has been steeper, both in case of hotels which belong only to EIH Limited, which is about 200%+, ranging from 200%-400% vis-à-vis our performance in the last year same quarter. Also in case of if you take all the domestic properties into account, which includes managed hotels as well. Effectively, if you would see on the right, the last year RevPAR index, EIH was at 1.34, and if we took all the domestic hotels, the RevPAR would have been index would have been 1.2, which is currently above 1.9, respectively. That's the overall picture of the industry. Our outlook, we continue to follow our mantra of endure, revitalize, and flourish. We continue to have a robust balance sheet, net worth steady, strong asset base, which of course in the years to come, it will probably increase. Total debt is marginally higher as compared to 31st March 2021, but again, with increasing cash flows, this is set to improve. The weighted average cost of debt as on 30th September 2021 was 7.35%, which is a reduction of 9 basis points in the last one year. If you look at the slide on RevPAR recovery, and this slide is basically recovery. It's not the actual RevPAR, it's the recovery. So you would see that the overall leisure segment has really, the blue one, the blue line, has recovered a lot, almost 200%, followed by the Trident Leisure, and thereafter into Trident Metro, Uber Metro, and the others. So the recovery has been quite solid in the current quarter. The recovery in domestic properties as a whole, as compared to 2019-20, which was a normal year pre-COVID, we are inching towards close to that if we take all the domestic properties into account. And then as we speak in July, August and September, we range between 50 to 53% at an ARR of 8,500 roughly, against an average occupancy of about 65% in a normal year versus about 9,300 odd average room rate. So we are moving in the right direction. If you look at it city-wise, you can see the recoveries. We have seen the maximum recoveries in Himachal Pradesh and in Rajasthan, followed by Karnataka, and then the other states, Uttar Pradesh, etc. Moving on, if you see in case of the domestic properties that we have, again including all management contracts, the recovery versus quarter two in financial year 1920 has been the highest at Trident Leisure and the Oberoi Leisure property. So again, leisure. But as we speak, city hotels are also beginning to pick up better. I think as a brand, as a company, we manage the two brands of Oberoi and Trident, and the brand promise of being the best continues to hold for us, thankfully, as on ARR as well as on revenue generating index, which is above 100%, as you can see the lines in the graph. The other icing on the cake has been F&B revenue, where it's seen a very good recovery. In fact, in quarter two, it's almost 450%. And the quarter two revenue in the current year is higher than last year by almost close to 100 crores. Oberoi Leisure, I don't want to repeat this, but it has been outperforming expectations. If you can locate the two dots in between, which is quarter two of FY22 versus quarter two of FY20, you will see if quarter two of FY22 is better placed than even quarter two of FY20, which is a very healthy sign. Domestic properties, again, the recovery has been, overall, as the RevPAR recovery has been shown here. Overall, the first half witnessed a sharper recovery in RevPAR as compared to the first week. Moving on, I think in terms of revitalizing, our safety standards continue to be premium, having been rated as platinum by the Bureau Veritas. We've also got the Editor's Choice Award and the Best in Business Safety and Hygiene Protocol. 100% of our eligible employees have been vaccinated. In fact, 89% of double employees are already double vaccinated. The rest of the 11% are not yet eligible, and as soon as they are eligible, they will be vaccinated too. Moving on, I think we continue with the efforts of transformation in terms of technology. The Uber Center of Excellence continues to improve, and in various aspects, as indicated here, in procurement, financial planning and analysis, tax compliances, accounts receivable, payable, and financial closing, there has been substantial improvement, including a management of treasury, which really brings has helped us keep our interest costs, etc., steady. And of course, dashboarding and data analytics, which has helped our management across properties and at corporate office to monitor performance closely. I think on a overall basis, on a consolidated basis, financial agility is the way to go, and we have been, as a company, been able to demonstrate that. So on a consolidated basis, where revenue has increased about 192%, the expenditure has grown by about 39%, so which is healthy in our sort of estimation. For the standalone basis, it's even better. Where the revenue has grown by 213%, expenditure has grown by 37%. And in our previous earnings calls, we had mentioned about fixed cost reduction and how much of that would be sustainable. We're happy to state that in the quarter two, as things stand, the fixed costs have come down by effectively 17%, which we believe is going to stay the way in the same way. It's not going to increase. So hopefully we've been able to come to a trend line which is more or less steady. The next slide will show you efficiencies in expenses. Total expenses is down 21%. Fixed cost has been down 16% overall. And corporate cost has come down by 28%. All of this resulted in a positive EBITDA for the company in quarter two, albeit a small one. But I think it's a starting point. Our digitization and automation efforts continue in maintaining and creating more automation in terms of document management systems, process workflow-based processes, seamless consolidation, robotics, and so on and so forth. The overall group's philosophy has been to move towards ESG initiatives in a big way, and in reducing our carbon footprint. This has really resulted in two solar plants being commissioned at the Oberoi Vanyavilas and the Oberoi Udayavilas, and there are two other properties that is mentioned here which belong to EIH Associated Hotels, which is managed by EIH Limited. So we are expecting to generate about 4.2 million units per annum, thereby reducing the carbon footprint. And as the next slide would show you that even under the current circumstances, hotels like the Oberoi New Delhi continues to maintain air quality which is better than the standards of most cities in the world. Moving on, just the performance highlights. I'm sure all of you would have seen the performance results as reported and in the stock exchange or in the website. But just to give a glimpse, our total income was at 217 crore on a standalone basis as compared to 69 crore of last year. And we did an EBITDA of 3 crore as I mentioned before. But at the PBT level, it was a loss of 33 crores with exceptional items, which we have chosen to take a conservative position. And we have impaired about 27 crores worth of expenses of our assets. Resultantly, the PAT is at minus 50 as against minus 115 in the quarter of the previous year. On a consolidated level, the total comprehensive income is better because some of our subsidiaries and associates have performed exceedingly well. So one of our subsidiaries, which is Ashobra Resorts Limited, has actually contributed very positively, and therefore the overall comprehensive income, the loss has come down. On flourishing, I think one of the things that would be important for us to state, and I would request Mr. Kumogra to add whenever he thinks is necessary. So we're looking at a very strong brand positioning and with very clear focused areas to make sure that the brand is visible, more visible in the luxury segment and driving of brand preference. So all our initiatives are geared towards these in terms of digital marketing, in terms of other forms of reaching to the customer. And all of this has actually resulted in a dominance in the direct segment, both with offline and online. But what would be heartening to note on this graph that has been shared here is the blue line, which is the OTA, while that has risen, there is an increase that we are seeing in the trends in the Oberoi contact center, which basically takes our offline calls, and the website, our own website, which has seen a very growing trajectory, which has been on the growth trajectory, and therefore this is of particular relevance to us. The brand website, as you can see in the next slide, has actually gone through a steep increase, and there are various promotions that are being offered here, some of which are available only if the bookings are in the brand website. The brand websites also offer a best rate promise. And overall, the company continues to dominate large corporates and medium enterprise. So one of the major initiatives that has been launched, and in the coming months, one is going to see an increased footprint in this, is a subscription program, which is called the Oberoi Select.
Would you like to add?
No, go ahead.
So here, basically, this allows our customers to benefit by buying, a package or buying a set of the room nights for an extended period of time at very attractive rates. And this hopefully is one of the major pillars that is going to be in the coming future. Customer loyalty and brand alliances continue to strengthen. The Oberoi One enrollment trend has been on an upward trajectory again. We have increased the number of alliance partnerships with various luxury brands, and that is also yielding a lot. Finally, I think one of the most interesting initiatives that the Oberoi Group has ventured into, in fact, it opened on the 7th of October, which is the next quarter, but because the cost was incurred and it was already in place, therefore we are covering it in this presentation itself. So this is our first outlet, a patisserie, a cafe at the Geo World Drive at Bandra Kurla called Cuckoo, which essentially looks forward to building affinity with the millennial and the next generation, but also for everybody else. So this really targets a segment of customers that one would assume, is something that the company would like to venture in going forward, which includes next-gen luxury, premium millennials, luxury loyalists, the modern executives, and so on and so forth. So what exactly is Cuckoo? It's a modern French-style patisserie to satiate your cravings for everyday indulgences. And it's very different from what is normally in the market. Some of the slides will give a glimpse of what kind of food is available and what kind of experience is available. The day of the launch we had, it was very successful. And we look forward to seeing how this segment pans out. Finally, the corporate structure and the number of keys remain unchanged as of now. And that's all from my side. If there's any, of course, there will be questions, and we will be happy to take on any questions. Mr. Vikramumbra, if you want to say two lines, then maybe. Otherwise, we can go ahead with questions and answers.
No, I'm fine. Thanks, Kalo.
Thank you so much. Over to you, Amit.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Agarwal, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Vikram. My first question is regarding the Bandhavgarh property that is coming up. How much sales do you think it will add up once it becomes operational for the full year? And what is the status of the project? When is it supposed to be launched? Hello?
Members of the management, we can't hear you. Participants, please stay connected. We seem to have lost the line for the management. Please stay connected while I reconnect the line for the management. We have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Shall I ask my question again? Hello?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Vikram. My question is regarding the Bandhavgarh property that is coming up. When is supposed to be launched, and once it's operational, how much addition will it do to our top line for the full year?
Manu, who's speaking?
This is Amit Agarwal.
Hi, Amit. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Amit, that's going to open next summer. That's a managed hotel. It's actually quite a small 17 tents resort. And there'll be management fees payable from that, but I can't imagine, just given the size of the hotel, that the rates will be very high, and hopefully occupancies will be strong. Just given the small room count, management fees won't make any substantial difference to EIH in the scheme of things, in the overall scheme of things.
So there's no property that is coming up in the next 2-3 years which will add substantial, to our turnover, because rate increases can go increase the top line to a certain extent, not beyond that. You need some more room additions year on year, which is, I don't think is happening in the next 2-3 years. Am I right?
We are looking at management contracts. If you're asking 2-3 years, yes, you're right. There will be no substantial change, but one of the focuses is to grow the grow top line and flow through to profitability through management contracts, and we will be working actively on that. We also, of course, as you know, have a development which is going to start very shortly on Hebbal Lake in Bangalore. That's about 1 million square feet. It'll be commercial and a luxury hotel. An Oberoi hotel, and also we have a very nice site in Goa, which is a 55-acre site, where we'll also be developing an Oberoi hotel.
But what is the timeline we're expecting for the Goa property?
So I would say I hope it's within the next 4 to 5 years. Planning is already underway.
And that will be owned by the company, right?
That's correct.
But does management contracts add substantially to the bottom line, top line, or is just 5-6 crore per annum to the profit line?
Management contracts have the potential to add significantly to bottom line. And there's some other things that we're looking at. Kalo talked about Cuckoo. Our endeavor will be to scale Cuckoo. We're looking at some other opportunities which are still, I can't discuss them now, but we are looking at even shorter term initiatives that will drive top line and bottom line performance.
If I'm not wrong, Cuckoo is a cafe, right? And is any hotel chain doing the same thing? That's what I got, that Cuckoo's cafe. And how many joints are you going to open, something like this?
I'm sorry, could you just repeat that? I couldn't understand what you
said. Whatever I got it from your presentation was that Cuckoo's cafe, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And how many cafes are you going to open in a year? Is there any prediction, or is there any ambition you're achieving? And is there any other hotel chain around the world who's doing a similar thing, opening cafes around the world?
So let me answer the first question first. What is the plan for growth? And we've identified locations where we feel there's potential for Cuckoo. That exercise has been done. What we would like to do is just wait and see how it performs, learn from that before expanding. And it would be premature for me to give you a number, because this isn't available in the public domain. But to answer your question, we would like to scale this, and we'd like to do it well. Just to give you a perspective, cafes, I just Googled Starbucks, for example. Starbucks, I think last I looked, was in 170 locations across the country. So there is an opportunity, and we won't be a Starbucks. Let me also clarify that. But there is potential to scale Cuckoo.
No, but there will be high-end cafes, I suppose, right? And will they be owned by all the joints will be owned by the company, or will it be a franchise model?
At the moment, they will be owned by the company. Who's to say whether we look at a franchise model in the future or not? But certainly, to begin with, they will be owned and operated by us.
Any number you're targeting for next 2 years, like 10, 15, or 5 or 6?
I don't want to comment on that. But again, I think I've given you a clue in my answer to Starbucks, which is in
Is that similar thing around the world, like Hyatt Regency or other hotel chains like, you know, many other, Marriott or something like this?
I can't comment on others, so it's best that it would be wrong for me to comment on what others are doing.
Okay, and my next question is regarding the property Hugada in Egypt. So is it company-owned, is it associate, or is it just a management contract?
It's a management contract, and we have 14% equity in it.
14? Am I right, 14?
Yeah. A small equity participation.
And which of the company is having the this 14% equity in that company?
No, see, we are only a minority shareholder there. So, therefore, it's really, if you're looking at it from a consolidation perspective, that's not really, it's basically the management fee. The reason of our presence is there, is presence is because the contract mandated a small equity ownership by the company which was managing the hotel.
I just ask you, which company? Is it a parent company or is it one of the foreign companies that is having the 14% equity over there?
No, it is firstly a little is less than that. It's not 14%, but yeah, it's less than that. It's about 10%, but that's owned by EIH International.
Okay.
Right, which is 100% subsidiary of EIH Limited.
And my last thing is, last point is, you know, regarding the technology that is being used at the website of Oberoi One. I think it's pretty cumbersome compared to getting a booking done at booking.com or some other travel sites. It needs to, you need to call the reservation people twice or thrice to get a booking done for Oberoi One. It's simpler to get the booking done at, you know, travel site. That's my observation. And all the big hotel chains are having a mobile app. We are not thinking something to on similar lines?
I'll answer the question on the mobile app first. If you have a large number of hotels, so let me give you an example, Four Seasons, Mandarin, yeah. Peninsula, etc. They are luxury hotel players, but they don't have the scale of, let's say, a Marriott, right? Marriott is present in thousands of locations.
Yeah, right.
Which is the largest luxury operator, has just over 100 hotels. And at least our research and the research, what we understand of others in this segment, is that unless people, an app takes real estate on your phone, and unless I'm using the app regularly, right, I will not use the app. I need to be using it regularly for it to stay on my mobile phone. Now, having said that, what we're looking at is something which is slightly different, which is rather than a mobile app, it's an app or you can use your mobile phone to activate whether it's your lights, whether it's the television or all other uses in the room. And on the back of that, it'll also have the ability to work on a reservation. But that's our endeavor is to do this. It's not underway yet.
But getting a booking done through the website, I think it's a bit cumbersome. I think the technology is not right up to the mark. I mean, like for Oberoi standards, it needs still a lot of work to be done over there. That's my observation.
No, and I think I thank you for your feedback, and we'll certainly look at that. I just had a clarification. You talked about Oberoi One. Are you referring to, because I made a reservation on our website. And if you go to the Oberoi.com website and make a reservation, it is very...
Yeah, I'm talking about that particular website only because to get the, I'm an Oberoi One member also. Yeah. To get my certificates issued over there and to get them, adjusted to my future stay, it's a bit cumbersome. We need to call 3-4 times to get it done.
We will...
They shouldn't be there.
Look at that. We will, and I thank you for your feedback. We will look at that immediately. Thank you.
Yeah, because for Oberoi standard, we expect something more smoother and much faster.
I think your feedback is very valid. Absolutely, you're right, and 100% we will look at it.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So my question is, can you talk about the how things are panning out in the month of November and advance booking for the all the key locations like Mumbai and Delhi?
Hi Sumant.
As I mentioned in my presentation, that you know the trend continues to grow, and as we see the recovery in after the second wave is much faster than the recovery after the first wave. So as things stand, things are looking much better. Yeah. Maybe Vikram can add something.
And Sumant, if you take, I'll talk about EIH. EIH is largely in gateway or metropolitan cities like Delhi, Bangalore, etc., Calcutta. And these are the hotels that we own. EIH Associated is more focused towards leisure locations, whether that's with Oberoi or Trident. And the Oberoi hotels, leisure hotels that EIH owns and operates are two. There is Uday Vilas and there is Vanya Vilas. This represents, I think, about 5% of room inventory of EIH owned and operated hotels. What we continue to find is very, very, very strong performance in leisure and absolutely no resistance to rate. So the perception or the misperception was that the domestic traveler is more rate resistant whether traveling on business or leisure. Certainly what I can tell you is, as far as leisure goes, for the right product, the right service, the Indian luxury traveler is willing to pay a high rate, and we're enjoying record occupancies at both Uday Vilas and at Vanya Vilas. And of course, yeah, in fact, all leisure, but I was talking about the EIH owned hotels. Also managed hotels, which have a leisure focus, occupancies are strong. Other than the Oberoi Amar Vilas, where occupancies aren't as strong, but in all other locations, occupancies are strong and rates are good. And that includes hotels like Sukh Vilas, et cetera, Vanya Vilas, and Uday Vilas. Corporate business, we do see a positive trend in our city hotels. Occupancies are starting to go up, and so are average room rates. But the recovery in the corporate segment is considerably slower than it has been in the leisure segment. So that would be broadly how I would define it. And EIH, of course, our larger hotels are all in key cities like Delhi, Bombay, etc., Bangalore, Calcutta, etc.
Okay. So overall, can you talk about the staff to room ratio? Talking about your peer, they have reduced significantly, say 20 to 25% of the pre-pandemic level. So can you talk about the metrics for EIH?
I don't have the numbers with me, so I don't want to misquote a number. But you'll see that pre and post pandemic, Kalo presented that slide in the presentation that's been uploaded, and we have worked significantly on re-looking at how we work, and numbers have come down. Some of that, as business picks up, will increase. But I think Kalo's slide also covers what we expect to be long-term sustainable reductions. So if I just I can give you some numbers if you like. But basically we anticipate approximately a 17% permanent reduction in payroll to pre-pandemic levels. So I'm just giving you Q2 figures. So Q2 for the financial year 19-20 versus current, which translates to approximately 80 crore.
Some of this will come back, but the vast majority of the driver won't.
So talking about the recovery and the we have seen in Q2, the Q3 and Q4, what percentage of business we are expected to recover of the pre-pandemic in the Q3 and Q4?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think recovery will be 100% even in Q4. Is my feeling. And the other thing, Sumanth, is, I mean, you travel on business. I think one of the things that I, and Claude, you can go through some of the figures, but what I mean, increasingly we are, what we believe is that corporate business, there will be a reset of corporate business. And corporate business will be defined by a new normal, which will be less than what it was pre-COVID, and I think people are working differently. People are working online. Not everybody's traveling for meetings like we used to do. So I think there will be a reduction in corporate travel and a new normal. What that percentage is, I mean, we have some internal estimates of that, but I mean your assessment of that will be as good as mine.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. And so my question was, in some of the leisure properties, where we are seeing the ARRs are above FY20 also. What is the scope to improve the occupancy, okay? Especially on the Oberoi leisure. Means, is there any opportunity to further improve the occupancy or how you are looking at that? And do you think still scope to improve ARR is there or just your assessment?
What we find is traditionally in winter months, certainly, and I'll again talk about the two EIH-owned and operated hotels, which is Udai Vilas and Vanya Vilas, our business on books, even for the winter months, is very strong. So is the rate, and these are at levels that are higher than what we did in Q2. So Q2, if you see, we did an average room rate of about 30,000. At Udai Vilas and 28,000 at Vanya Vilas. There's a considerable upside in both these as we go through the rest of the financial year, both in terms of rate and in terms of occupancy.
And this is on slide 14 where we have given ARR and occupancy trends, domestic property. This ARR is Q2 FY22, Q2 FY21, and Q2 FY20, or it is Q1 means?
Can you just read out the heading? This is city-wide revenue recovery, domestic properties. Is that the slide you're referring to?
No, next to it. The slide next to it where ARRs are given.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I so what is your question?
No, my question is there some error in entering means because ARR it says Q1 FY22, Q1 FY21 and Q1 FY20.
Yes.
It is Q1 or Q2 means because...
It should be Q2, yeah. It should be Q2. Our fault. You're absolutely right. It should be Q2.
Okay. And one more thing. In the city-wise revenue, we have seen a pretty strong traction in Karnataka, okay, which is basically Bangalore market. But Delhi and Maharashtra are still much lagging behind, and our expectation was Bangalore would be a later market to join the race. What is happening in that market, or are we doing something which is helping to improve the occupancy in that market, especially in Karnataka?
Very, very good question. Actually, the biggest impact it has on the, it's driven by the size of hotel. So the Oberoi Bangalore is a relatively smaller hotel with 160 keys. And obviously, as corporate travel recovers and we regain the numbers, it's much easier to fill a smaller hotel than it is to fill a larger hotel. So it's as simple as that. Our other locations, hotels, have a significantly higher room inventory.
And one last question. Generally, marriages is a big proportion for some of the our hotels, okay?
Yes.
What we read in newspapers, next 3-4 months, dates are choker-blocked at the hotels. So what is the situation at your end and anything you can relate?
I think we're also benefiting from marriages in particularly hotels like Udai Vilas, but even in our city hotels. Marriage demand is strong and the propensity to pay is high.
Okay. And lastly, this Odisha, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, the last bucket, okay, what we have shown in this slide, is that 54% of the means revenue recovery rate, okay? What would be your thoughts on these markets? Will it take further time period or it is because of Kerala, COVID, second wave or third wave, whatever we see?
Kerala is certainly contributing to that. Actually, Orissa, we're seeing good demand. So that I think what's dropping the figures because it's all combined.
Okay. Thank you from my side, yeah.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Sun.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much and good afternoon to the management. So one question from my side. You mentioned about the business on books. Specifically, what I was just trying to understand is that for a leisure property, is the current business on books, at least for the period, say, post-January, similar to what it used to be pre-COVID, or that is still something that's as of now slightly lagging?
I don't have the figures on me, but I would imagine it's better. But I need to look at the numbers before. But if my recollection serves me correctly, it's actually better.
So and that, if I had to just bifurcate it, is it apologies if and I can check later also that is it mainly that the room nights are or the occupancy is better off, or is it that the rates that we have seen even in off season, that kind of improved trends continuing into the key peak season from say Jan to March also?
In leisure, our forecasts indicate that we will do better both in terms of occupancy and ARR.
Sure, this is helpful, sir, and that was it from my side. I wish you all.
And may I just give one clarification? I'm referring particularly to the EIH-owned hotels, which are Banya Vilas and Udai Vilas. And I mentioned Amar Vilas actually is extremely reliant on foreign occupancy, or historically has been. We've done various promotions for Amar Vilas to try and attract a larger domestic audience. But weddings has been an important segment, but we aren't able to run the same occupancy in ARRs at Amar Vilas in Agra as we are in other locations. So Udai Vilas, Banya Vilas, Leek, Wildflower Hall is extremely strong. Raj Vilas is somewhere in between, and Amar Vilas, unfortunately, is occupancies are lagging. Although with winter buyouts for weddings, occupancies will be stronger, but certainly not to the level of Udai Vilas and Banya Vilas.
I think one of the points is that since you're looking at business on books, and that too for January, which is about 3 months away, I think what is important is that your business's books will mainly reflect in case of weddings and those kind of social functions. But in case of the other businesses, other leisure businesses, actually the booking window has come down significantly. So therefore, I think to look at business on books 3 months, 4 months, 5 months away may not be fully accurate in today's world. I don't know if Vikram agrees with that point of view.
And for, yeah, I would say it's somewhere in between, Flo, because Vanya Vilas, which has a small room inventory, we find business on books quite strong even there. Because people know that if you want to get a reservation, you need to book in advance. So the lead times are slightly longer. It does vary from location to location. Rajglass, you're right. Amar Glass, you're absolutely right.
That's helpful. I just had a question which came up that you mentioned about foreign guests. Ideally, I think for EIH, the proportion of foreign guests was around 70% pre-COVID. Is that a right assessment? And currently, what it would be?
Yeah, I would say it was about 60%, not 70. But yeah, 60, 70, you're right. But 60 is probably closer to what it was.
That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Bharati from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I would like to have an update on what the flight catering business. What is the status now? What is the capital employed in this business as of today? And what are we doing in terms of ramping up?
Hi, Rajiv. Yeah, it's about 357 crore. Which is the net block. If in a nutshell, if that answers your question, and I believe you're referring to the India operations.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is what it is. And as things stand, things are improving as we speak, but obviously with foreign travel still not fully open, meaning it's still on those same bubble flights, I think we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But losses, of course, has reduced compared to previous years. And with the domestic travel picking up, I think two things where we have seen some traction is our share of the domestic business has actually yielded some profitable revenues, as well as the overall airport services, the lounges that we have in airports.
Do we have any indicated number for Q2? I mean, in terms of improvement?
Well, we did. Yeah, I can give you indicative numbers. Against an EBITDA loss, of course, we've done an EBITDA loss in this quarter as well, but this is roughly about 30 to 35% lower than what we did last year.
Sure. And so, going back to your city-wise revenue recovery slide, there Rajasthan and Himachal Pradesh, where you're doing 141 and 234% in terms of revenue. Now there, how much is due to rates alone? The swing in revenue.
So Rajasthan again both rates and occupancies, but this is, Rajasthan has Uday Vilas, as you know, and Vanya Vilas. So it's both rates as well as occupancies. In case of Himachal also, it is, again, both rates and occupancies. So really speaking, in both these locations, it is both, but I would say a higher ARR. The ARR is actually much, much higher than the growth in occupancies.
But the, historically in these markets, the rates have risen at a very very standard rate year on year basis, because in leisure destinations and such destinations, you kind of maintain rates and you don't want to have large swings in the rate, right? And if you're charging, if you increase the rate substantially now, in the later season when it goes down, is this divergent from your old practice, that old strategy of keeping the rate at a always upward sloping curve?
So Rajiv, the first thing is that when demand is there and people are willing to pay the rates, then there's nothing. I mean, the situation that really panned out in quarter two is in many cases, even rooms were not available at whatever rate. So as long as the buoyancy is there, I think there's no question on what you need to do with your rates. And therefore, and you're quite right with your numbers, For example, if I were to look at, like Mr. Vikram Oberoi mentioned a while back, our rates at Vanya Vilas and Uday Vilas have grown by at least 60% or thereof. So really speaking, I think the strategy depends on what the demand supply situation is going to be. And I'm sure Mr. Vikram Oberoi may want to add to that.
Yeah. Sir, lastly on Marrakesh, because it was operational for the entire quarter, can you give an indicative number for what happened there and what was the ARR you were able to command for the quarter?
So the ARR is very, very good, but I'll just take one step back about Morocco. Morocco and Marrakesh in particular in winter get a lot of business from Europe. Whether that's the UK, all European countries. But UK is a very strong market, and Germany also is a strong market, as are others. For us, UK is for all Oberoi hotels across the location, tends to be very strong, and the US as well. Now what's happened with Morocco is that when the COVID numbers started to go up in Germany and in the UK, they closed travel from those markets. So we had reservations in at the Oberoi Marrakesh in both the UK and Germany, which all cancelled. In terms of occupancies, what are they called? They're doing about 12% with an average room rate of about $470. Approximately.
Sure. And if I can squeeze one, on the Indonesia bit, which is still, I think, has not opened, what is the capital employed there in terms of assets? Because this has been under stress for some years now, barring COVID as well.
Yeah, it won't be significant.
It's about $4 million, if I'm not wrong, roughly.
Approximately. Right. Thanks a lot. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agarwal from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. My first question is it possible to get a split of the top line in terms of room rental, F&B and others? And secondly, continuing on F&B, compared to, let's say, what was the second quarter, how do you find the F&B as we speak today? Has it come back to pre-pandemic levels, or is it still some place to go?
It's still not. It's actually recovered to a large extent, but it's still not recovered to pre-COVID levels. It's marginally below. It is, so food and beverages, just under 90% is the recovery.
And what will be the split of room rental to F&B in the second quarter?
That's changed. It's now rooms is 47 and food and beverages 45. And if I take 90, financial year 20 Q2, food and beverage was 36 and rooms was 53.
Right. So F&B. So you would expect F&B to help out as we move ahead, because I think Maharashtra has also opened up in terms of timing also. So probably that should help in coming back to pre-pandemic levels within the third quarter. Do you think so?
Well, all I can say is the historic, or if we look at the Q2, recovering food and beverage has been stronger than rooms. And if that trend continues, what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Sure. And the second question pertains to, you've got another vertical going in terms of Cuckoo. Any other verticals being planned apart from the traditional, hotel verticals of F&B and room rental? Do you have anything in the plan?
We are looking at other things as well, but I unfortunately can't comment on them at this point.
And
one of the things that that I may want to just add to that is Oberoi Select. Now, that's not to – Oberoi Select is just looks at a slightly different approach to selling rooms. So that wasn't what your question was, but I still would like to highlight Oberoi Select. But to say, are we looking at new sources of business and revenue and new models? We are, but I unfortunately cannot comment on that. It's too premature for me to comment on that.
So Amit, just to add to what Mr. Vikram Oberoi said, I think in our previous earnings calls, we had mentioned about a few new initiatives that we're taking. One of them is operational, Cuckoo, and the others are to follow in subsequent quarters. So you'd like to watch out for that space.
Sure. And my last question pertains to, you know, you already talked about the corporates coming back. What percentage would they be, about 10-20%, or is there just about green shoots? And secondly, any movement in the MICE firm?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Can you just repeat, Amit?
My question pertains to, you know, the fact that corporate and MICE were the, you know, missing ingredient in terms of room rental. So in terms of corporate, can you say that there is a decent percentage, when I say decent, probably 10-20% of total room rentals, or they're still lower than that? It's just about starting off. And secondly, on the MICE, that is the meetings, incentives, etc., has the MICE started, or you haven't seen any start out there?
We've seen MICE start. It's probably not the large MICE that you traditionally had, but I'll just again give you an indication. September, October, and these may be indicative of what will come in future. MICE has recovered. It's now about 30% down on what it was previously. So pre-COVID versus now for the months of September and October. So the recovery actually has not been bad, 72%. To answer your question on corporate, corporate is roughly just under 40% down compared to pre-pandemic for September and October. But what I'd like to highlight actually is the direct segment. And this is I'll break that down into our website. And our website is up just under 20%. OTAs are marginally up. Calls to our contact center are up by 70%. So it's really, our website, OTAs and OCC, we classify as direct. It's customer coming to the hotel, booking through various channels. And that's overall up substantially.
So again, to add to what Ms. Vikram Oberoi is saying, Amit, that since the direct has gone up, this is due to the initiatives that has been taken, and we are aware of what initiatives are leading toward growth. But some amount of this could also be a spillover from the corporates who may choose to book, especially the SME segment, which may choose to book through direct websites, which may not have a contracted rate with us. So it's quite possible that there is some fungibility out there.
Sure. One last question, if I may squeeze in. Have you started entering into talks with the corporates for rate negotiation, or is it too early for that?
We are talking to corporates, absolutely.
Sure. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. Well, as there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the conference back to Mr. Amit Agarwal for closing comments.
At this stage, I would like to thank everybody for having joined the call, and especially to the management for answering all the questions in Q&A. Thank you all, and we'll close the session now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.